Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We are going to read several different verses throughout this chapter. Genesis chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 1. I'll have you join with me on some other verses throughout the passage. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Join with me on verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'll read verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Let's read verse 9 together. Ready? And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. I'll read verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And I'll read verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And let's finish on verse 24 together. Ready? And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you that you love us. And God, please, in eternity past, you knew exactly who would be here today. You knew the heartaches. You knew the burdens. You knew the need, and Father, you've given us a man of God to supply that need. Now fill him with your power. Please fill us with your power as we listen. May we please you with what happens today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Normally on a Sunday morning, I'll announce what I'm going to preach on a Sunday night. I get excited about it, and I want you to know. All the way a week ago, I started announcing this morning's topic. I don't think that you'll be impressed with the delivery of today's message. But I know this, if you will listen, I am so excited about what I'm going to say to you in every section, whether you're in the balcony or you're off to one of these wings. Let me say to you, give your attention to today's sermon. I cannot tell you. What I'm going to say to you is what you're all about. It's you young people laughing over there. Pay attention. Look right up this way right now. What I'm about to preach to you is what your life is all about. You don't miss it. Don't miss this. I can't tell you how urgent and how important it is that you listen and that you apply and that you obey the truth that I'm about to preach. I'm about to tell some of you why you are miserable. I look out and see some faces you never smile. You drag yourself into church. You say, but you're not happy about it. I can tell you today what your problem is. If you will listen to this truth, I'll tell you why some of you you feel hopeless about your life. I'm going to tell you what your problem is today. Again, you will not be impressed with the way I deliver this truth. But if somehow you will listen and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart, this truth will help your life, I promise you. I call it created for a reason. Created for a reason. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And when you did, you see that God created the heavens and the earth. He is the great creator. In Genesis 1, verse number 3, we see that God created light. You see, God is the great creator. And God had a reason or a purpose for his creation. On day number 2, the Bible says in Genesis 1:6 that God created the firmament and divided the waters. On day number 3, the Bible says in Genesis 1:9 that God created the land and the sea and the plant life. And on day number 4, once again, we see God's creative powers. On day number 4, we read it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that God created the sun, God created the moon, and God created the stars. Oh, God had a plan. God had it all organized. When he got up on day 1, he said, this is what I'm going to do today, and he did. And on day two, he said, this is what I'll do today, and he did. On day three, he said, this is what I'll do today, this is what I'll create today, and he did. On day four, he said, this is what I'll do today, and he did exactly what he planned. On day number five, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, God created the birds and the sea, the mammals and the animals of the sea. And God said, this is what I'm going to do, and that is exactly what he did. On day number six, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, God created man. And so, you know, God did not ask man to evolve. God created man. God created man. Man did not evolve from a monkey. You said, but my professor, your professor's full of bananas. Full of bananas. The Bible says that God created man in one day. God created man in one day. Say, but I don't believe it. Doesn't change the truth of it one little lick. God created man. Man did not evolve. And so God said, I have a plan for day one, and he followed it. He said, I have a plan for day two, and he followed it. He said, I have a plan for day three, and he followed it. I have a plan for day four, and he followed it. I have a plan for day five, and he followed it. I have a plan for day six, and he followed it. Then day seven, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 2, God rested, and we have a day that we call a day of rest, and we get to come to church. And some of you are already getting your rest this morning. I appreciate that. Dozing off already to follow the command of resting on the seventh day. But here we see 7 days and seven purposes, and God knew what he was doing. Hey, listen, God had a reason for everything that he created. God had a purpose for all that he created. On day one, he had a reason for creating the light. On day two, he had a reason for creating the firmament and dividing the waters. On day three, he had a reason for creating the land and the sea and the plant life. On day four, he had a reason for creating the sun and the moon and the stars. On day five, he had a reason for creating the birds and the sea mammals and the animals. He had a reason for it. He had a reason. He wasn't just trying out his creative powers. He had a reason. He had a reason for everything he did, every day, and everything he created, there was a purpose. On day five, he had a reason for creating the animals. On day six, he had a reason for creating man. He had a reason for it. He had a reason on day seven for resting. He had a purpose. He had a reason. Listen to this verse. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, notice there, it says, thou hast created all things, and for his pleasure they were created. For his pleasure they were created. Hey, you were created for a reason. Have you stopped to realize that? Young man sitting here today, the God of the universe created you. Have you stopped to realize you were created for a reason? Teenage girl sitting here today, as you sit here and not real concerned about life, you just let it happen to you. May I tell you something? May I tell you that the great God of the universe, when he created you, he created you for a specific purpose. May I say to those of you that are in your senior years, may I remind you, the God of the universe created you, and he created you for a reason. To those of you that would consider yourself in your adult years, but maybe in the youth of your adult years, you young married couples, God created you for a reason. God created you for a purpose. You see, God created it all. And when God created you, he created you for a specific purpose. He created you for his pleasure. God created you for his pleasure. May I ask, is he pleased? Is your life pleasant to God? Now, the Bible says that he created all things, and for his pleasure they were created. Hey, let's, the man sitting in the balcony today, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to draw a little circle around yourself. I want you to stand in the middle of that circle with me for the rest of this sermon. I'd like to talk to you for a little while. I'd like for you and I to talk very personally today. I'd like to find out, are you doing what God created you to do? The lady that's in the balcony today, ladies on this lower floor, gentlemen on the lower floor, people sitting on the platform and in the choir, I need to ask you a personal question today. This isn't a sermon that we're just going to throw out there and hope somebody finds it. Hey, how about you and I meet for a little while? You, sir, and me. Ma'am, you and me. Let's just talk for a little while. I need to be a spokesman for the God of the universe. I have a question for you. Are you pleasant to God? He created you for his pleasure. Is he enjoying you? Have you even thought about him in the last 3 or 4 days? You see, you were not just created. God didn't create you and say, okay, cut loose, go do what you want. Oh, I'm very sorry. Our God is far more organized, and he has far more purpose than that. He created you for a reason. Are you, sir, fulfilling the purpose for which you were created? Are you, ma'am, fulfilling the purpose for which you were created? Well, I'm just living my life. Well, what about God? Who are you living it for? I mean, if you had to tell me today, face to face, Brother Owens, I am doing exactly what I was created to do. Could you say that? Could you say that? Do you live your life in such a way as to fulfill the purpose for your creation? Folks, listen to me. Just logic for a second. Understand, God had an assignment for your life. God had an assignment when you were created. He had an assignment for you, something that you were to accomplish in this life. And I'll guarantee you that if you are not after that purpose, if you're not trying to fulfill that purpose, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. The God that created all joy made it so all joy is available to those who are doing what they were created to do. In heaven, there was a specific reason for your birth. Oh, the birth of the Christ child. We think, oh my goodness, what the birth of that Christ child meant. It was planned. It was organized. And so many things came from it. Do you realize something? You were born for a reason. You were born for a reason. There's a purpose for your birth. There are a lot of things that are being accomplished as a result of your life. We're not talking about putting a few bucks in the bank, filling your belly, and getting a good night's rest. There's more to life than that. Are you fulfilling the purpose for which you were created? You were not to be born and then run off and do your own thing. The reason why many people in this building today, you have an unfulfilled life, is because you have not filled your life with God's purpose for your life. The reason many of you feel like you're in misery is because you're not doing what God wants you to do with your life. Me, there are people in this room, you say, I feel empty. You even ask yourself, what in the world is life really all about? Let's face it, folks. We've now opened our trinkets for Christmas. Are you now happy? No, you're not happy. Those trinkets didn't make you happy. What you're looking for is not something that was thrown under a tree and wrapped in nice wrapping. What you're looking for is the purpose that God created you to fulfill in life. And if you're not going to fulfill it, you'll continue down your path of misery. Well, why am I here? Have you ever taken enough time and asked yourself this question? Why was I born? Why am I here? Why did God allow me to be a part of this life? And just so you know, there is a reason. Again, you were not born into this life so you could run off and do your own thing. You were born into this life for a specific purpose. You have a job assignment. You have a purpose that God intended for you to fulfill. Hey, do you know something? Other parts of his creation have found the reason or the purpose for their creation. You know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 22, there's a story about a donkey. Well, it's not just about a donkey. There's a story about a fellow by the name of Balaam. Balaam was a backslidden prophet. And Balaam one day was riding this donkey, and the angel of the Lord stood in front of Balaam and the donkey. And the old donkey wouldn't try to go past the spot where that angel was. Balaam started kicking on that donkey, giving that donkey a hard time, and that old donkey, he talked. He actually talked. That donkey said, back off here, preacher. The angel of the Lord's out here. The angel of the Lord's out here. I am amazed that a donkey has enough sense to want to be in the will of God, but us human beings don't. So you compare me to a donkey? No, I'm just telling you the story about a donkey that had enough sense to be in the will of God. That donkey, he was at the right place. He was doing what he was called to do. He had that preacher on his back, and he was right there. He'd seen the angel of the Lord standing in the road. He knew to speak up when it was time. I believe that one donkey, the day it was born, that donkey was created for a purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose. And here today, I am talking about a donkey that was in the will of God. A donkey that was in the will of God, doing what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it. This time of the year, we talk about the Star of Bethlehem, that eastern star. Oh, do you realize that old star, that star that led the wise men to the place where Jesus Christ was born? That star was doing what God created it to do. That star, when it was time for that star to be in place, all God had to do was say, star, go to your place. And that star twinkled its way right over the place where the baby Jesus was lying in a manger, and they were able to follow that star to the place where Jesus would be. That star fulfilled its purpose. God created that star special and said, now you star, you're going to lead someone to Jesus Christ. God created that donkey for a purpose, and God said, donkey, you're going to help me. You're going to go down in history. You're going to be a talking donkey. And we're not talking about Mr. Ed now. We're talking about a talking donkey that was involved with the will of God. Well, the star found God's purpose for its creation. The donkey found its purpose for God's creation. In Jonah chapter 1, we see the story of Jonah running from God. That backslidden preacher running from God. The next thing you know, as he's running, he ends up on a boat or a ship, and he's heading the wrong way. He's moving away from the will of God, and the storm comes, and there is Jonah, and there's a storm, and the ship is about to sink, and the men on that boat, they throw him overboard, and at that very moment, God looks down to a great fish that he had created. We call it a whale, and God said to that whale, Mr. Whale, your day has arrived. The whole purpose for your creation is about to take place. Oh, whale, you need to move from where you're at right over here. You see that guy's feet dangling in the water? Swallow him. And the whale said, yuck, that's a stinky backslidden Baptist preacher. And nothing stinks more than a backslidden Baptist preacher. You want me to swallow that thing? And God said, just hold your nose so you don't have to smell what you tasted and suck him down. And that old whale went over there and opened up his mouth. I'm glad he did not chew. And so is Jonah. He did not chew his food. He swallowed it whole. And he went down into the belly of that whale. And that's where Jonah stayed for a little while. But I'll tell you something. That whale was in the will of God. There's a whale that found the will of God. There's a star that said, I know why I was created. I will do what I was created to do. A donkey had enough sense to do what God created it to do. There's a story in John chapter 18 of Peter. Peter was having a conversation with Jesus Christ. Peter was part of the inner circle there. And old Peter, he knew that some tough times were ahead. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, now I want you to stay up close here. Oh, but Peter, he was always getting himself into trouble. And Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me before the cock crows three times. Before that old rooster sounds off, you're going to deny me, Peter. Well, you know what happened? That very thing happened. Jesus was on his way to a false trial, a mock trial, and it wouldn't be long until he would be crucified. And what happened? Old Peter denied Jesus Christ. Peter was standing by the devil's fire, warming his hands, and he denied, and he denied again, and he denied again. And you know something? As he was out there denying, all of a sudden, you heard that rooster and the cock crew. God looked down at that rooster and said, "You did exactly what you were created to do." That old rooster was there to fulfill the will of God. He was predicted in the Bible, predicted by Jesus Christ. And the day that the egg popped open and that rooster was there, God said, "Now I have a purpose for your life, little rooster. I have a reason for you." He said to that donkey, "I have a reason for you." He said to that star, "I have a reason for you." He said to that whale, "I have a reason for you." If we took the time to go to Joshua chapter 10, you would see the story of when Joshua went to battle against the Amorites. While they were in battle, they were being defeated, to be quite honest with you. And Joshua said, "I think I could win this war, but the sun's going down." Now, they didn't have electricity, and they couldn't flip the lights on for an evening war. And so the sun was going down, and Joshua said, "I believe I could win this battle, but the sun's going to go down. I'm not going to have time to win the battle." And the Bible says that Joshua prayed, and God stayed the sun. In other words, held the sun in place. God said to the sun, "Stand still. I got one of my boys down there, and he's in a battle, and he can win that battle, but you're going to have to stand still." And the sun said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." I'll tell you something. It would be sad that a son that has no soul would stand still at the beckon of the Savior, but human beings will not. That son had been created for a purpose, and it fulfilled that purpose. And so did a rooster and a fish and a star and a donkey. In 2 Kings chapter 9, you'll see a story. Actually, the end of a story. There was a man by the name of Ahab, and he was a wicked king. He had a wife by the name of Jezebel. Ahab had wicked desires. Ahab wanted the vineyard, the grapes, if you will, of a vineyard of a man by the name of Naboth. Naboth, that vineyard belonged to him. And old Ahab went down and talked to Naboth. And Ahab said, "Would you sell me your vineyard?" And Naboth said, "I can't. It was passed down from generation to generation. It is my inheritance." And Ahab said, "I want that vineyard." And Naboth said, "I can't sell it to you. It's got to stay in the family." And Ahab went home. He was pouting. He got the poochy lip disease. That's where you put your lower lip out. He went home, put that big old lower lip out, looked like a half-inflated inner tube, and there was his wife, old Jezebel. And Jezebel said, "What in the world is wrong, Ahab?" And Ahab said, "That big bad Naboth won't give me his vineyard, honey." And she said, "Well, don't you worry. I'll get that thing for you." And by hook and crook, she went down. She had Naboth killed. I mean, he was killed, and Ahab went down and took the vineyard. Well, the preacher heard about it. And this was probably an independent fundamental Baptist preacher because he had some guts about him. He went down there and he said, "Hey, what you have done is wrong." And he said, "As a result of it, the dogs will lick your blood and you will die. And there will be vengeance upon you because you killed Naboth to steal that vineyard." Oh, well, I'll tell you something. They had taken the vineyard. They had done what they wanted. But I can guarantee you something. Every time old Ahab heard a dog bark, he turned around. They did not have pets down at Jezebel's house. They did not go to PetMart shopping. No way. Why? They knew that the preacher had said, "The dog's going to lick your blood. The dogs are going to eat you." That's what had been predicted. They went for weeks and months. Oh, I promise you, every time the neighbor's dog got in their yard, old Ahab was climbing up on the counter in the kitchen. Oh, no. The dog's here. Don't you think he had nightmares? Oh, but may I tell you, it took years. But eventually, one day, Ahab and Jezebel were eaten by some dogs. You see, the day came, one was thrown out a window, was lying there in the street, about to die or dying, and God said, he said, right there, that dog, you right there. The old dog looked up, and God said, it's time for you to do what you were created to do. He looked at another dog, and there were a pack of them there, and God said, now you go eat those nasty, vile sinners that have turned their back on me, and they murdered to get what they wanted. You go eat them. And the dogs ran over there, and they ate Ahab, and they ate Jezebel, and they licked their blood, and those dogs said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They had been to obedience school. They obeyed. That dog that licked the blood of Ahab was created to lick the blood of Ahab, and that dog obeyed. I would hate to think that I was a human being created by Almighty God, and I did not have the sense of a dog. A dog that would obey God, but human beings that won't. A dog that was created for a purpose, but human beings that don't give another thought to what they were created to do. You were not created, and then God said, now go do what you want. He did not do that. He didn't do it with a donkey. He didn't do it with a star. He didn't do it with a whale. He didn't do it with the rooster or the sun or the moon or the dogs. He didn't do it with the wind or the sea. When God created those things, he created them for a purpose, and they submitted to him. You see, I'm saying to you, other parts of God's creation have found their purpose. Surely you want to please him as much as a donkey would. Surely you want to please him as much as a dog would. Surely. Surely you want to please the one that created you as much as a rooster would. Surely we have the sense of a chicken. Surely. There are human beings throughout the Bible that have found the purpose and the reason for their creation. Joseph of Arimathea, he provided a tomb in which to bury Jesus Christ. I don't know what else that guy accomplished in his life, but I can tell you this. He went down in history because he was willing to give a tomb for Jesus to be buried in. John chapter 19, verse 38. There is a widow that we've all heard of. It was a widow that gave two mites. Two, and a mite would have been a portion of a penny, but we'll call it a penny for the day. She gave a couple of mites. She had two mites, and when the offering plate was passed, she threw her two mites in. Now, what you need to know about is that's all she had. And for someone that only has two pennies, to give it all is as much as for someone that had 2 million to give it all. Because when you give it all, you give it all. It's not based on how much you have compared to everybody else. It's based on how much you have compared to what you have. And when all you have is two mites and you give it all, you have given much. And that little widow and her two mites, do you realize that widow went down in history because she gave her two mites? I do not know all the purposes for her creation, but I can tell you this. She was there the day she was to do what she did in throwing those two mites in. And I think God looked down and said, widow, you have done one of the things I created you to do. There are people who have found the purpose for their creation. There's the great Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 19 and on, you see that he penned 14 books of the New Testament. A great missions work in starting New Testament churches everywhere. There's a boy and his lunch found in Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 14. You find a boy, all he did was grab up a lunch one day. He went down to where Jesus was, and God ended up taking a lunch of a few fish and a few loaves of bread taken from a little boy, and he feeds 5,000 people. Now, you don't know anything else about that boy. We don't know his name. We don't know his address. We don't know if he had a PhD. We don't know how much money he had in the bank. We don't know if he drove a fancy car, had a fancy house. But I can tell you one thing. God looked down to a little boy and said, boy, you were born of a woman. I've planned this all along. I'm so glad you're here today, little boy. It's time for you to step up. You step up to the plate, and that little boy hit himself a home run. You say, how? He was there to do what God created him to do. May I ask you a question? Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you found what you were created to do? Or are you just living your life? It's my life. He gave it to me. It's his life. He gave it to you. You were created for a purpose. Hannah Hannah vowed in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. She vowed to God that if God would give her a son, that she would raise that son as holy and as godly as she could. And I'll tell you something. God gave her a son, and she reared that son, a young man by the name of Samuel. And I think God looked down and said, Hannah, if you don't do anything else the rest of your life, you reared your boy. And he turned out to be a great man of God. I think Hannah found what God intended for her to do and to be. You take Job. I'll call him a businessman. And if you knew the history of Job, you would know he's one of the wealthiest men, if not the wealthiest man on the earth at that time. Job learned how to suffer within the will of God. And Job learned how to take it. And Job learned how to make it, even things when things were not going well. Hey, I wonder how many people would have ever thought that Job would have gone down in history as being one of the greatest encouragers in our generation, because all of us look to the suffering of Job when we're going through a tough time and say, if he can make it, I can make it too. But I think God looked down and said, Job, your time has come. You're going to suffer, but I want you to fulfill the will that I created for your life. If God wants you to do something for him, it's big. And God has a plan for your life. You know, it's as big for you to do what God has created you to do as it was big for Moses to do what God created him to do. The will of God for your life is as important as the will of God was for Elijah's life. The will of God for your life, you've heard of the great D.L. Moody. I think the will of God for your life is as important as the will of God is for D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon or Jack Hiles or Jeff Owens or anybody else. Folks, don't think, well, oh, Brother Owens, stay in the will of God. It's so important to so many things. I say to you sitting in this section, stay in the will of God. It's so important to so many things. To those of you in the balcony, do the will of God. It's so important. It's so important. You've got to be where he wants you to be and do what he wants you to do. It is so important. I say to everybody here today, you and me alone in the circle, God created you for a reason. Have you found it? Are you doing it? It is as important for you to do the will of God as it was for Jesus to do the will of God. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. Have you found it? Are you doing it? I'm making money. Good. Is that what he created you to do? We've got a nice house. Good. I'm glad. Is that what he created you to do? You can have the house. You can have the money. I'm glad for you. I want you to have it. But I want to tell you something. You better find what he created you to do. And you better do it. You see, I say to you, he created us for a reason. Now listen to this very carefully. There are some things he created all of us to do. There are some things he created all of us to do. And most of you will not find the special thing he created you to do until you do the thing that he created all of us to do. For instance, we're to praise him. In Psalm 150, verse number 6, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm to praise God, and so are you. You're to praise God. When we sing, let's lift our voices and praise God. Hey, tomorrow morning when you wake up and you take a breath, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. We need to learn to praise God. Say, things are not going very well in my life right now, God. Well, Brother Owens, let me tell you something. Things could be going worse. You say, it's hard to praise God when things are not going well. It could be a lot worse. And whether it's good or not good in your opinion, you ought to praise God. We were all created to praise God. Hey, we were all created to win others to Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, there are some things we were all created to do. Whether you're a brand new Christian or a brand old Christian, we were all created to praise him, and we were all created to spread the gospel and tell others about Jesus Christ. You can give to our missions program, and you ought to, but you cannot buy your way out from under the responsibility of sharing Jesus Christ with others. Some of you have heard this, and you've heard it time and time again, and you still haven't told anybody about Jesus Christ. Oh, you said Merry Christmas, but I'm talking about more than that. I met a Muslim the other day that told me Merry Christmas. So if we can get a Muslim to tell you Merry Christmas, it seemed like the members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church could do that. I'm talking about you tell others that he's the Savior, that they're a sinner, and they need a Savior, and you help them to know how to get born again. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, there are some things that we're all to do. The will of God is the same for all of us in certain areas. How is that? We're all to praise the Lord. We're all to win others to Jesus Christ. We're all to glorify Him according to Psalm 22:23. We're all to fear Him according to Psalm 22:23. We're all to obey His word. We're all to worship Him and love Him and live a holy life. We're all to be faithful to church. That's very clear. I'm going to tell you, many of you will never find the will of God for your life because you don't do the things that we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to be faithful to church. We're all supposed to read our Bible. We're all supposed to pray. We're all supposed to give as unto the Lord. And one of the first keys to you finding the big thing God has is that you do what we're all supposed to do. You believe this? There are people in this room that don't even care. You're saying, I just want to get out of here. Could we hurry up, get this over with so I can go home? I have a life to live. Pray tell me, who gave you that life? How dare we say, I'll just live it the way I want. God never has created anything and said, here, go do what you want, live the way you want, go where you want, be what you want. We're not supposed to be what we want. We're to be what He wants. We're not to go where we want. We're to go where He wants. There are actually people in this room, you are so numb. I don't care. Let's just get out of here. We ought to care every moment of every day that we do what He wants us to do. Realize God created you for a reason. Realize it. Hey, if God had a special purpose for a donkey, He does for you. If God had a special purpose for a star, He does for you. If He had a special purpose for a whale or a rooster or the sun or the moon or the dog or the wind or the sea, hey, you're more important than all of those. You're more important than that dog. You're more important than that rooster. Listen to me. Oh, young man, you're saying, oh, I don't know what to do with my life. I may not be able to tell you what to do with it, but I can tell you this. You better plan on doing what God wants you to do with it. The day your mother found out she was pregnant, God drew up a reason for your creation. Do you care? You know, there are people that are not in church today. They know they should be. They don't even care. You know what you say, Brother Lawrence? Tell me, why do you think people ought to be in church all the time? Every time you come, you may get a little closer to finding the reasons for your creation. I don't want to miss it. Oh, I don't want to miss it. There are things that God wants me to accomplish. I need to be where God speaks to people so I can accomplish that purpose. His will for you is His purpose for your life. Just like He had a special purpose for Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea, he had a tomb, and God said, I have a special purpose for your life. He has a special purpose for every life in this building. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not even a member of this church. This is my first time to ever be here. God brought you here for a special purpose today. It's not an accident that you're here. It is on purpose. You say, I'm a member of another church. That has nothing to do with it. God is bigger than another church or this church or that church. You're here today. It is not an accident. The God of the universe wants to reach down deep into your soul and say, wake up, I created you for a purpose. Stop being stingy and living your life for you and what you want to do and where you want to go and what you want to be. Wake up, I created you, and do what I created you to do. God had a purpose for the Apostle Paul. God had a purpose for Hannah to raise a Samuel. God had a purpose for Job and had a purpose for Mary. God had a purpose. Don't live your life aimlessly. Realize there's a reason. I am so tired of hearing young people, teenagers, you say, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. I need a job. Flip some burgers. Oh my. Oh my. I am so glad. When I was a 16-year-old boy, I got some fire and some drive in my life. I said, I want to do something. I want to be something. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. Don't spend your life just rambling around and aimlessly wandering. Do something with yourself. Oh, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Aimless. And that's why this old nation is going down the path that it's going down. Because people are not concerned about what does God want. Just ask yourself that question about everything. Well, what does God want? If you'll find what God wants, you'll find the purpose for which He created you. I say this. I say there are some things He created all of us to do. Oh, we're all to be soul winners. We're all to be in church. We're all to do certain things. And realize He created you for a special purpose. Number three, whatever He planned for you, it is best for you. Whatever He planned for you, it is best for you. See, nobody loves you as much as God. Now, some of you love yourself an awful lot. But I'll tell you, you won't love yourself more than God will love you. Say, I'm just scared for myself. I'll tell you, you ought to be scared of yourself. You know, the only person who gets you out of the will of God is you. You know who messes me up? Guy I shave in the morning. You listen to me, whatever He planned for you is best for you. It is best because He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your present. It is best because it is the safest thing you could do. Now, I'll tell you something. I would not dare want to be out of church, out on the roads, when I ought to be in church. Say, why? It's the safest place in the world. It is the will of God that God's people be in church when there is church. And when you are not in church when there is church, you are putting yourself in danger. You will not get shot in church. You may get shot at Walmart tonight at 6 from people in the exchange aisle. In God's will is the safest place for you to be. And the reason why some of you have no security in your life, you know you're not in God's will. You know you're not. Some of you are scared to death of everything in life. And let me tell you why some of you are that way. You're not in God's will. You know it. You don't feel safe out there wandering around in life doing your own thing. You shouldn't feel safe. Oh, it's a good thing He loves you anyway. Gives us an awful lot of protection even when we're outside His will. But folks, I'm telling you, He created you for a reason. He created you for a purpose. Now, there are some things that we should all do. But I would not dare want to be away from God and God's people when I was supposed to be with Him. I'd be scared. Some of you have more courage than I would ever dare dream to have. I would not dare just decide, I'm not going to church. I'm scared to do that. Are you so numb to the reality of a God that you can just walk away and say, yeah, I'm just not going to show up. I'm just not going to do it. Well, would you just do God like that? Because that's what you're doing. Listen, He created you for a reason. It's not a big game. I have friends, their names are Jeff and Joy Ryder. They are missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And in the parts of New Guinea where they started, and they've been there for years. I mean, we're talking about parts where clothing is not the norm. I don't know how else to say it. People don't, they're not totally dressed. And history of cannibalism in the area. We were all together one day when they came back to the States, and as we were sitting, and my wife and I sitting and eating with Jeff and Joy, I said, how does it feel to be safe back in the United States of America? And they said, we cannot wait to get back to Papua New Guinea. I thought, oh, what's so safe about that? You have to fly in on a little plane and fly out, and all the disease and cannibals and all the, and you're the only white folks there, and nobody else knows you. They said, Brother Owens, we feel so safe because we know it's the will of God that we be in Papua New Guinea. We do not feel safe in the States. I said, neither do I. You only know what's going on in the United States. But I joked with them, but they were sincere as they could be. We don't feel safe when we're outside His will. Oh, there are some people here and you panic a little bit in certain situations. I'm not here to tell you you're out of God's will and you know who you are, but there are a whole bunch of you. You just live your life and you're so insecure. Everything's insecure for you. It's so hopeless and aimless. Let me tell you, you need to get in God's will. You need to get in God's will. I can highly recommend it to you. You say, I don't like what God's will is. God's will is best for you. And some of you, don't become disgruntled with God's will and walk out of it. You stay in God's will. I've discovered this. Happy people have found God's will and they live in it. The happiest people I know have found God's will and they live in it. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You know, birds are happy. Why? Well, they're created to sing and they do it. They're happy. Do you know why hummingbirds hum? They don't know the words. No.
Birds are happy. Why? Because God said, bird, I create you to fly, and they fly. And bird, I create you to sing, and they sing. The sun is happy. Why? Because the sun was created to warm us, and it does. What a beautiful day we had yesterday. I thought as I was in Washington, D.C., I thought, what a beautiful day. I seen the birds. I seen the trees, and I thought, wow, this is great. And the trees looked happy to me. The sun looks happy to me. The birds look happy to me, and I'll tell you why. They were created by a God for a reason, and they said, the wind said, I'm going to blow. The trees said, I'm going to grow and give shade, and the sun said, I'm going to warm, and the dog said, I'm going to bark, and the fish said, I'm going to swim. And if you want to be happy, you better find out what God wants and do that with your life. You'll be happier that way. God created the rooster to crow and the monkey to climb. God created man to hunt. I mean, God created man to eat. You're not happy unless you're eating or hunting. Oh, God created us, and God created us for a woman. God created woman to cook the food for the man. And God created woman to mow the yard and shovel the snow. And you won't be happy unless you do what God's created you to do. God created the stars to shine and the flowers to smell good and the rabbits to multiply. And I believe that God's creation is happy. They do what they were created to do. But man is so sad today. I was walking through Washington, D.C., and I was looking at people. They were sad. I look at many of you, I look in your faces, and you're sad. You can see it. You have a hard time hiding it. I know we put our Sunday go to meet and smile on. But behind that smile, for some of you, you are very sad, you are very empty, and I'll tell you why. You are aimless. All you do is eat and work and sleep and eat and work and sleep and eat and work and sleep, and you have not even given one consideration to why were you created. If there's somebody here today and God has gotten a hold of your heart and down inside you, something that you and me are having a real deep conversation right now, that is the God of the universe trying to bring some of you out of your depression and out of that deep dark hole where you live. And God's trying to say, hey, there's some sunshine in the will of God for you. And there is indeed. We're out of His will. And we accept it. We need to accept the will of God. It's a joy to do what you were created to do. Finding what you were created to do, hey, and let me teach something here. Finding what you were created to do will not eliminate all difficulties in life. Oh, no. Oh, no. Finding what you were created to do does not mean that everything goes smooth. Not at all. That is not true. But I'll tell you this. Finding what you were created to do and doing it will give you the strength to make it through the hardships of life with the help of God when you find Him. So you say, things are not going real well for me right now. That does not mean that somebody's out of the will of God. But I'll guarantee you that if you're in the will of God, when the hardship comes, He'll help you through it. You can still keep some joy and some peace in your life. Instead of everything being, oh, it's all over, it's all over. And it's not all over. Not if you're in the will of God. Not if you're in the will of God. Finding what you were created to do will not eliminate all hardship. You'll still face hardship. You'll go through it. But He will give you the strength to go through it. I'm a happy Christian. I am a happy Christian. I enjoy what I do. I was with Mrs. Shepherd, sitting down with Brother and Mrs. Shepherd, and she said, Brother Owens, I worry about you. You get to running around up there. And she said, when you reach for that portable mic, we all know what's about to happen. Said, you reach for that portable mic, we know you're getting ready to cut loose. You're getting ready to take off running somewhere. She said, and I worry about you. I don't want you to have a heart attack or something up there. Well, I'll tell you what, and I told Mrs. Shepherd this. I said, Mrs. Shepherd, I'm as happy as a man can be right now. I am not under stress. You are, but I am not under stress right now. I am happy. I am relaxed. I'm having a good time. The happiness goes from my face all the way down into my heart, deep into my soul. I'm having a good time. I'm doing what God created me to do. I'm enjoying every inch of it, every smile, every joke, even the bad ones I tell. I enjoy them if you don't. I'm enjoying it. Hey, happy people have found the will of God. I'm a happy Christian. I'm a happy Christian. I can remember when I discovered the Lord Jesus Christ as a teenage boy. Was I perfect? No, but I was trying. I was trying. I fell and I fell and I fell, but I kept getting back up and getting back up. I can remember as a teenage boy, I knew for a fact as a teenage boy, I should be a bus worker down at the church. I went down, started going out and reaching little boys and girls when I was just a teenager. Oh, did I enjoy that? Oh, was I a happy Christian? Oh, did I enjoy doing that for God? As a young adult, I started going to the nursing homes and preaching, and I got in the jail ministry, and I became a Sunday school teacher, and I became the youth director. And I'll tell you something, all along, I just felt it inside myself. I said, hey, I am doing something for God. I'm accomplishing something with my life. I'm not just getting up and eating and working and going back to bed and doing the same thing over and over again. God was using me. My life was fulfilled. I thought, wow, if this is what it's all about, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. God called me off to Bible college. I was in the will of God. It was hard work. I worked all day. I went to school all day, and I worked all night, and I studied, and I barely slept, and I worked, and I went to school with 2 and 3 hours worth of sleep a night. But I'll tell you something, Brother Bush, I was happy. I was happy. Why? I was in the will of God. I'd found where God wanted me. I was doing what God wanted me to do, and I was happy. I was dead tired, but I was a happy dead tired. I was a happy dead tired. I was in Bible college. I went to work for Brother Hiles up at First Baptist Church at Hammond, Indiana. And I'll tell you something. I was busy. I was busy. I had a great big young couples class running 400 and 500 people in my Sunday school class, and a big bus ministry and a big youth ministry. And I was teaching at the college, and I was busy. But I'll tell you this. I was a happy busy. I was happy with it. I was happy, and I wasn't all the time discouraged and all the time wondering what life's all about. I came to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm enjoying it. People say, how's it going there in West Virginia? I said, it's great. It is great. I'm having a heyday. I'm having the time of my life. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I enjoy what I do. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I'll tell you this. I remember back when I was in a machine shop and I was a layman. God had not called me to preach. I was one of the happiest machine operators that company ever had. I was going to church. I was telling others about Jesus Christ. I didn't sit and listen to dirty, filthy jokes at the lunch break. I didn't go out and have one with the boys after work. I was in the will of God. I wasn't drawing a paycheck from the church, but I was in the will of God working secularly. Some of you are as miserable as you can be. Hey, listen to me. Happy people have found the will of God and they live in it. I found what He created me to do. There are people in this church, lay people, that have come to me and said, Brother Owens, I just feel like God wants me to serve the rest of my life right here in this church and help you. They didn't say, you got to hire me. I got to do this. They just said, I just feel like I could be a bus captain here forever. That's probably the will of God for your life. Brother Owens, I just want to do what God wants me to do. And I just feel like you and I, we're going to grow old together. I'm just going to be here. And I'll be here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I'm enjoying what we're doing here, Brother Owens. There are some people that just feel that way. They say, I like that. That's so exciting to me. That may be the will of God. That may be the will of God. Any of you that know Brother Bush, he would tell you, he feels like the will of God for his life is to assist me. Any of you ever heard him testify? You can't miss it. It just bleeds out of him. He's a happy man. I'm not here to exalt me as pastor. I'm here to exalt him as a man that I believe has found what God wants him to do with his life. I told a fellow not long ago, I said, if you tried to offer Brother Bush a pastorship, he would turn you down flat. He said he would rather that I raise the money than him raise the money. He likes the fact that the buck does not stop at his desk. So Brother Bush is a coward. No, Brother Bush is, I'll guarantee you can ask his mom and dad. You can ask them. They'll tell you. He feels like God's purpose for his life was to be an assistant to me and to help me get the job done for God. And he does it quite well. And he's as happy as he can be with it. He doesn't feel intimidated because that's what he's doing with his life. He doesn't get around some pastor and feel like a second-class citizen. That's what God has for him. And if you're a bus captain here today and you're not the pastor of the church, why don't you hold your head high and say, you know something? I'm doing something for God. I'm doing what God called me to do. If you're driving a bus for this church, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a bus driver and I'm happy and I'm doing it and I'm enjoying it. Thank God you're doing the will of God. That's what it's all about. We're thinking of Brother Rick Young. Brother Young, I think, Brother Young, where are you at? I looked over at Brother Tennis. I said, "Wake up, Brother Tennis." And I thought, "Brother Young, how long were you in at your church?" 17 years. Brother Young went out. He started a church and he began to pastor that church. And one day he and I were having a private time in my office. And he said, "Preacher," he said, I just can't tell you how I feel." He said, "For 17 years I struggle and we worked so hard at the church." He said, "I don't think I did anything wrong by starting that church. I don't think I did anything wrong by being there and pastoring all those years." He said, "But I'll tell you something." He said, "I stepped up a notch with my joy and my contentment and my excitement when I came here." He said, "I just realized I really believe that God wants me to be an assistant and work in this place and help you." I think he found it. I think he found it. Oh, hey, what are you looking for? I can tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for the purpose of your creation. That's what you're looking for. It's the same for all of us in many areas, but there are some areas where it's different. There are so many people. We need to find what God created us to do. Hey, He didn't create all of us to do the same thing. There's something that we are all created to do. That me, I am very happy. I believe I'm in the will of God pastoring the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Brother Young, Brother Bush, they've told me, and these other men could tell you the same thing, but they've told me, I feel like I'm in the will of God. Some of you, it's to be a bus captain. Others, it's to be a Sunday school teacher. Some, it's to be loyal to this church and rear good kids like Hannah did. And for others, there's a, I was thinking, Brother Butch, where you at, Brother Butch? Brother Berman? I seen him right back here. Let me tell you about this guy. He came to me and sat in my office, and he does landscaping. He came to me, he said, "Brother Owens," he said, "I came here." He said, "I know this is going to sound strange to you." He said, "I know it's the will of God that I come here to help with these grounds." You know what he does? He trims our trees. He and his wife are masters at that sort of a thing. And he trimmed our trees out here for us. He's going to help us to groom the property. We have ladies that help us in planting flowers. You know what? Mrs. Orta, Mrs. Johnson, they plant flowers all over this property for us. And I believe God's been training you ladies all these years because it has a special purpose for your life. And they're happy when they're out there planting flowers. And Brother Butch and his wife, they're happy when they're out there working on the ground. And I think Brother Fisher's happy when he's out there driving that bus. And I think Brother Kidwell's happy when he's on his bus route. Hey, let's all just find what God wants us to do. Let's start doing it, and let's all get happy. Let's all enjoy our life. That's all I'm telling you. There's some of you just out there watching. Now there's something for you. There's something for you and you and you and you and you. There's something that God has for you. Have you found it? And you're going to be miserable until you find it. I promise you, you will. Brother Malott, right there is a good guy. That fella, he takes so much of his time to go down there and fix our buses. He does it for free. He'll go down there and work and bloody his knuckles. He's down there fixing buses and changing oil and changing tires. And I'll guarantee you, you go back there and ask him, "Do you like doing that?" He'll tell you, "I love serving the Lord. That's what God has me to do." He's found the will of God for his life. Hey, did you know there's somebody that only you can reach? Somebody that only you can reach. You reach them yet? You were not created to eat and sleep. And we have done a lot of it lately, haven't we? Listen, let me say one other thing and I'll be done. If you feel you messed up doing that special thing, He has something else. He has something else that's special. You know, sometimes we miss that special thing. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we mess it up because of our sin. No, sin will steal opportunities from you, but sin can never steal all your opportunities. And you say, "Well, I think there was this great big giant thing I was supposed to do, but Brother Owens, I've messed up and I don't think I'll get that done." God comes immediately and He says, "I've got something else for you." You might not get to serve that original purpose because of your sin, or maybe because of your procrastination. Maybe you put it off. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, "Brother Owens, I'm in my latter years, and I've realized today God created me for a purpose. I think I missed it." Well, let me tell you something. If you missed it because you put it off so long, God still has something for you to do. You get to searching for it right now. I had a 67-year-old man come to me. He was sick. He was as sick as he could be. And he said this to me. He said, I felt like in my earlier years I should have gone out and started a church. Now, I said, I don't recommend that you do that now. 67. He was dead tired. He was sick. I said, I don't recommend you do it. I wouldn't have stopped him from doing it. But I said, I don't recommend you do it. I said, but I'll tell you something. Oh, your preacher could use you around your church. Oh, if you'd just show up and give what energy you could, and maybe you could work like a host, or you could help people, or be an usher. You could still do something good with your life. He said, that's exactly what I want. I may not be able to do everything that I could have had I done it in my youth, but I can still do something for God. And God still has a purpose for your life, and you need to find it, or you're never going to be happy. A parent, you say, I lost a child. They rebelled against me, and they I'm not talking about to death. You say, I tried to rear my kids the best that I could, and it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted. My child rebelled. My child went their own way. And so since then, you've drawn into yourself. You're not doing anything for God. You feel like you've wasted yourself. You feel like you failed. Hey, you may have had a tough time rearing that child, but let me tell you, some of you need to get yourself cleaned up, start living right, and get to teaching a Sunday school class over here, and help us to rear somebody else's children. God created you for a purpose. Now you need to find it. Man came to me, a pastor, and he had messed up. And it was not wise for him to pastor anymore. I told him, I said, don't you withdraw from the Christian society altogether. Said, you teach Sunday school. You help your preacher. You be a blessing to him. Don't be a curse to him. Be a blessing to him. I want every one of you to listen to me very carefully. If you say, Brother Owens, I think I kind of goofed up. I've done some things that may disqualify me from all the things I would have liked to have done for God. You may not get to do all that you would have liked to have done, but you can still do something. And you need to figure out what you can do, and you need to do it. You will continue to have a depressed, empty, aimless life until you decide that you want to do what God wants you to do. As long as you're breathing air, He has something that He created you to do. May I say, we were all created to spend an eternity in heaven with Him. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means this, every person here, if this is the first time you're going to listen to me in this whole service, I want you to listen to this. You were created to go to heaven. You will never be happy until you get saved so you can go to heaven as you were created to go. See, God's not willing that any should perish. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for people. If you go there, it will be an unpleasant place for everybody. Why? Well, you'd be out of the will of God, because the will of God is that you get saved. And the first step for some of you to getting into the will of God and doing what God created you to do is that you get born again today in this service. That's one of the reasons God brought you here. You listen. We were created for a purpose. And the only way you're going to find real happiness and joy in this life is that you find it. You can keep chasing after all the little things that you thought were going to make you happy, and they're not going to fulfill. You can try your drugs and your alcohol. You can have your illicit relationships and have immorality with the boss down at work. You can go ahead and do whatever you want, but you're never going to find yourself happy until you please the one who created you, because He created you for a purpose. And when you find that purpose, right, it is the bullseye for happiness. I invite you to it. I've not stood here and preached against all the sins, as we want to call them. Maybe I have preached against the greatest sin of a Christian, though, not fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. And if you're not saved today, you ought to get saved. It is the will of God. And it's where you need to start in finding the big picture and what God had you created for and for what reason He created you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.